It's Monday of 2009, and we start off the year right with our media critic, Dick Weiss, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, semi-retired from there, took the buyout and started his own website, weissright.com. He's also a contributor to stlbeacon.org. Dick, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You do not need a digital converter to hear this.
That is true. That is
now, right? Forever, right?
Or even after February 17th. Right. Your analog radio works just fine. The same radio that you heard FDR give his fireside chats with is the same radio you can use today.
And this is just as good and reassuring.
Actually, you know what? You laugh, but there are a whole bunch of old radios I have in my house fixed by Jasper. Radio Hall of Fame and Fruit Baskets out down there on Cherokee.
Oh, yeah.
He fixes these old radios.
Philco's.
Philco's. Oh, the whole deal. And it sounds fantastic. It's great. So, all right. Before we get to Lee Enterprises, New York Times, some big breaking news, I guess, the beginning of this year, January 1, or I guess today was the first day, you open up today's New York Times, and on the front page, hold your breath for it, there is an advertisement.
For CBS, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah, electronic media.
People are taking this as the sign of the apocalypse.
Yeah. People who worked at the New York Times over a century who are no longer there must be spinning in their graves to see an ad on the front page. It is, you know, there's nothing really unethical about it or even terrible, but basically... this is the preeminent newspaper in the United States putting something other than news on its front page and obviously profiting from that.
Right.
And it had been resisted for a long time by many newspapers. Washington Post still is not putting ads on the front page. But you could see it creeping up on the Times because other newspapers began to do this. The New York Times began to put ads on section fronts other than the front page.
Right.
And now, because of the economic pressures, they've decided to go with an ad. And it just sends an unfortunate message about the value of news across the nation. But no, these are hard times. It's understandable.
I know there are some highbrows out there who will just, you know, shudder and say, oh, another nail in the coffin for civilization. But, you know, the truth is somebody's got to pay for this news gathering.
That's right.
And if you want to pay $10 a day for your daily newspaper, you can you know, put your nose up at this. But I still like my newspaper relatively cheap.
That's
and
right.
And I don't mind somebody else paying for it.
And if you go online, as increasingly more and more people are, you know, those online sites are littered with ads and pop-ups and all kinds of gizmos and doodads, including the New York Times site. And so this is this intrusion does not feel all that bad.
Right. But it is, in terms of media, a big story.
Yeah, it's a big story.
Yeah.
No question.
Does the Post-Dispatch have ads on their front
page?
Yeah,
I believe they started doing that. They also had those little sticky things that you sometimes
right.
see on the paper.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know what... advertisers pay for that, but it's all obviously you can get more off a front page ad in terms of revenue than in the back of the paper. So
right.
you do what you have to do.
I also know that they say that not the front page, but the second most expensive page is the back page.
Yes, yes, and that's true. Full page ads, and typically, traditionally, those have frequently gone to department stores.
Right,
and department stores are almost as fraught in terms of the economy as newspapers. And so those back pages are getting tougher to sell as well.
Right. But years ago, department stores would have, you know, 10-year buys on those back pages.
Right, I mean, right.
They would have it locked up
for
the next 10 years.
You know, page 3, I believe, Dillard's, at least at one point, I'm not sure if they still do, had a purchase, I believe, on the page 3 of the Post-Dispatch, and Famous Bar may have had the back page, had several pages in the A section. The A section was always considered, for some reason, more valuable real estate than, say, sports, which I thought, you know, in my view, that had an avid readership. But
right.
typically you would see ads for tires and hardware and more recently for enhancements to the male genitalia.
Yes. But no, yeah, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. Much more than just men read the sports pages. But I guess, you know, I guess that front page, more people read, see the front page than anything else. So.
And the everyday section, the feature section at one time had, was probably the most popular section, but, and the movies went there and those were lucrative, but, many other kinds of ads, the advertisers were never comfortable being in that section as avidly read as it was.
Yeah.
You know, it's a quirky business.
All right. What do we know about Lee Enterprises?
Well, at the end of the year, Lee filed a report that in which it quoted its auditors as saying that the company's ability to remain, that it questioned the company's ability to remain a going concern. This was filed on New Year's Eve, and that's a scary thing. However, reading the analysis of many people, including some of the Post-Dispatch and some outsiders, they say this is not at all unusual in terms of what's happening with other papers. It's bad, but it's not. It doesn't necessarily stand out. Another concern, especially if you own Lee stock, is that it is in danger of being delisted for the New York Stock Exchange. If you own Lee stock a few years ago, you've already lost 99% of the value of that stock. It's now trading something like 35, 40 cents. To be on the New York Stock Exchange, you need to be at a dollar or more.
And they suspended those rules, at least during this last couple of months, because of this economic crisis.
Right. So Lee needs to come up, either increase value of its stock quickly or to come up with a reason why it should not be delisted. And they say they are going to provide that reason within the next several days. Now, having said all that, Alan Mutter, an analyst, a media analyst, notes that Lee Enterprises still produces a larger operating profit percentage-wise than Exxon, the oil company, not Enron, Exxon. And what's the difference here? Well, the problem is that Lee is deeply in debt, and despite making a substantial operating profit, it does not have enough money to pay the debt, and that's why it's in
right
and so much debt.
So they're making money hand over fist. They just don't. They're not making enough hand over fist to pay off the debt. And the only debt, the major debt, was buying the newspaper in the first place.
They bought the newspaper. They also took on some of Pulitzer's debt.
Okay.
When they did it, and so there is a prospect of bankruptcy. However, Jim Gallagher, who's a business writer for the Post-Dispatch, wrote a very thoughtful piece on behalf of the St. Louis Newspaper Guild, of which he's a member, in part to reassure the members of the guild, saying he doubts that the creditors are going to put Lee Enterprises up against the wall because it is still making some money. And if you force them into bankruptcy,
How much money are you likely to get paid. Right.
But the downside of that is that in some way, somehow, Lee is either going to have to increase profits or cut costs. If they cut costs, where are they going to cut costs? Maybe that means less for the reader or fewer jobs.
Now, I know we talk about this. This is a big story. Every week we talk about this. And last thing I want to do is come down on our hometown newspaper because, as I've said numerous times, I think it's very important to the fabric of the St. Louis community. How much more can you cut? Look at today's newspaper. You can't cut anymore.
It was awfully thin today.
Right.
We're coming off a holiday week.
Right. Today's a little bit different because it's, you know, the 4-day holiday and there's not much news and all the bad guys have took off for the vacation. So today was particularly light. But on a normal Monday or Tuesday or Thursday, how much more are you going to cut?
Yeah.
What much more can you cut?
Yeah, you can cut staff, I suppose. You can cut you can run more wire, but of course people can get wire reports almost anywhere. It's a real difficult call on how to do it and what to do.
Right.
And I wouldn't want to be in the position of the editor, the managing editor at this point. It's just
it's a
difficult thing. But I noticed, for instance, in sports, a few years ago at least, I don't know if last year, they sent reporters to the playoff games.
Right.
And those are all wire reports this year.
Right.
So that's one way you cut.
All right. Any word on them cutting the Monday and Tuesday or Thursday, Friday editions or anything like that?
I suspect that's all on the table, but no, I haven't heard anything that.
All right.
That would suggest that at this point.
Let's move to something else. Israel, which has been in the news. I know there's some people out there, I wonder if they're all Palestinians, but is there any credible evidence that you see, Dick Weiss, of Israel being treated better in the American media than the Hamas? And I don't even know, if that's a valid question, but is Israel being treated with kid gloves in this skirmish with Hamas over Gaza?
Well, I can tell you, I'm Jewish. Let me disclose that, if it already isn't well known. But there is always concern anytime any of this happens about the way the media, American and worldwide, handles these situations, because the images are often one-sided. Perhaps they have to be. The images show, bombs landing, injuries to Palestinian families, and there are not as many images showing the harm done to Jews in Israel. And that's images and ideas. And the idea that first that Israel has been enduring rocket attacks from Gaza for many months, more recently after the truce expired, there are just not as many images. And so one can embrace or understand that if your home was under attack, that if, for instance, as George Will put it yesterday, if San Diego was under attack from Tijuana, Mexico, Americans would not put up with it, and they'd want an incursion to take place and for that to be stopped. One can embrace that idea and understand it, but when you see the images where there are far more of them showing Palestinians being harmed, then there's an imbalance that occurs, because that's a much more visceral problem. I think Americans, generally speaking, can take the side of Israelis based on the ideas and the concepts here, but as the images are broadcast worldwide, there's an imbalance, and there are not as many people around the world who are sympathetic to the Israeli cause, and that's why Jews are so sensitive to the way in
which
these are reported.
I agree with that, because take religion out of this. If a terrorist group was attacking anybody, right, throwing bombs, we would expect that country, whether it's Spain or Germany or North Korea or South Korea, whoever, to go after the terrorist group. Hamas is a terrorist group. Okay, they are Palestinians, but they are a terrorist group, not by our definition, but by the world's definition, by the Palestinians' definition. They're a terrorist organization. What I find fascinating, and I don't know how much of this is being actually reported or understood, is that the Arab governments are quiet on this, right? They have no problem letting Israel attack Hamas, who they have no use for.
And the political calculation is basically Hamas is seen as a proxy of Iran.
Right.
Many Arab governments are afraid of Iran and its power and its perhaps its ability to get a nuclear weapon. One of the issues is whether, because of this, public relations, believe it or not, I think plays a huge role here. Because of the way Israel is perceived, the weight that an Arab nation can bring to bear on behalf of the Israeli side is limited, because their populations are sympathetic to the Palestinians. The Palestinians themselves, leave aside whoever it is that's representing them, are a sympathetic group. They have put up with a lot in their lives. And one of the things that makes it even more complicated is that in Gaza, Hamas was elected,
mm-hmm.
The people's choice, as it were. And the question is, if you lose that, there's a cost that Israel takes on in pressing this in terms of public opinion. And in the end, you wonder whether doing what they are doing in the end will actually get them what they want. or whether it will simply inflame opinion and create even more opposition and more war and bloodshed. So that's a real question that even within Israel is being debated.
Yeah.
Whether it works.
What's the best story we've never read?
Well, I actually aggregated, rather than doing a best story, I aggregated all the material that I've been able to find about the Lee Enterprises situation. You can read Jim Gallagher's report, The Business Writer, The Post-Dispatch, the point of view of a couple of bloggers on Editor and Publisher, the Associated Press report. And you can read all that stuff on my website at weissreich.com if you want to know. It answers a lot of good questions about what will happen to the Post-Dispatch down the road.
All right, good. And then the Beacon just got a grant?
Yeah, the Beacon got a $90,000 grant from the Knight Foundation. $90,000 is enough to allow us to hire two reporters. And the Knight Foundation essentially sent grants to four online journals around the nation. And the Beacon, we're very proud to say, was one of them, indicating that they think we're viable,
yeah,
and a going concern.
Do you have any numbers as terms of how many hits on the website or anything like
I
that?
I don't. It increases every month. I nothing to brag about. We certainly are not producing a larger operating profit than Exxon at this point. In fact, we have no ads. We depend on the goodwill and the generosity of many donors.
But the question is, will someday the stlbeacon.org have an ad on their front page?
If we're lucky.
One can hope. One can hope. All right. Dick Weiss, it's weissreich.com, weissreich.com, or stlbeacon.org. And if you're not going there daily, you should. stlbeacon.org. Dick Weiss, have a happy new year.
You too.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.